Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's March 13th in Trey Osar. In Zayin Adar, okay. We are starting Amos, Perek Aleph in Amos. Dimrei Amos, Asher Haya Vanokdim Mitekoa. The words of Amos that he was from the Nokdim in Tekoa. Tekoa is a place. Nokdim means that he was a shepherd. He was with the sheep. Asher Chaza al Yisrael, that he saw, meaning he saw a vision on Yisrael. Bimei Uziah Melech Yehuda, in the days of Uziah the king of Yehuda. Uvimei Yoravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, and in the days of Yoravam ben Yoash the king of Yisrael. Shnasayim lifnei Haraash, 2 years before the Raash. The Raash means the sound, the noise, the deafening sound. It's referring to the earthquake that took place in Eretz Yisrael in the days of Uziah. We learned about that earthquake in great detail in Sefer Melachim. We're going to talk a little more about it tonight in its relevance to Amos and to what is going on over here. Amos being a shepherd, that should not be surprising to anybody, mm-hmm. given that we know that leadership of Klal Yisrael are often shepherds. Mm-hmm. The Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech, we find that is a frequent theme in the leadership of Klal Yisrael, and Amos was a shepherd dealing with the flock. Amos had a significant speech impediment. The name Amos refers to some sort of an impediment. The word means some kind of an impediment, and the Gemara says Chazal tell us he was called Amos because he could not speak well. And in fact, in Sefer Yeshaya, when Yeshaya gets his first vision, his first nevuah, now his first nevuah, Yeshaya's first nevuah, is at the Raash, is at this earthquake. That's when he gets his first nevuah. It's in Perek Vav of Yeshaya. That's the first nevuah of Yeshaya. And in that nevuah, the Navi says, Yeshaya says that he hears a voice that Hashem says, Esmi eshlach umi eilech lanu. Who will I send? Who will I go on our behalf? So Chazal say that what Hashem was saying is, I sent Amos, preceded Yeshaya by 2 years, I sent him, and Klal Yisrael said that Hashem has given up his world and has put his Shekhinah on this person who has a speech impediment, on this Ketia Lashon, this person who can't speak well. Meaning, Klal Yisrael looked at this as a lack of Hashem's kavod, as a diminishing of Hashem's kavod, that he would put his Shekhinah on a person who had a mum, who had a blemish, that he was unable to speak well, unable to speak properly, that he had a speech impediment. So that is Amos. He was from Tekoa. We had Tekoa before in Sefer Shmuel. Anybody remember where we had Tekoa in Sefer Shmuel?
Wasn't there a lady there?
There was a lady from Tekoa. There was an Isha Chachama, a wise woman from Tekoa, who was enlisted by Yoav ben Tzruya when Avshalom ran away, before Avshalom's rebellion, when he ran away because he avenged the honor of his sister Tamar, and he killed Amnon. And when he did that, Avshalom ran away because he was afraid that David would punish him for doing what he did. And Yoav, in an attempt to bring back together David and Avshalom, enlisted the help of an Isha Chachama, a wise woman from Tekoa, who he had her act a part in front of David HaMelech and in so doing was able to create a mashal that would give help David realize that he should invite Avshalom back and make shalom between him and Avshalom, and it was successful. But he needed a wise woman. We described it at the time. It wasn't just that he needed a good actress, which she was, but he needed someone, as we described at the time, who would be quick on her feet and be able to play the part which wasn't scripted, because she had to be able to respond to David HaMelech depending on the way David HaMelech reacted to her charade. And so he needed a wise woman who was able to play that part and pull off that role. And so if you want that whole story, it is online in Sefer Shmuel Beis, where we discuss this Isha Chachama from Tekoa. But when he needed a wise woman, he specifically went to Tekoa to find a wise woman. And the reason why wise women are found in Tekoa is because Tekoa is in Shevet Asher. It's from the tribe of Asher, where there is an abundance of shemen zayis, of olive oil. And olive oil is a skula, it's an omen for chachma, for wisdom. And therefore, Tekoa is associated with chachma, it is associated with wisdom. Amos is from Tekoa, which implies, if we are told that he's from Tekoa, that means he must represent Tekoa, which means he must have been quite a wise person. Of course, the Navi is not going to say that he's the wisest person, because that is reserved to Shlomo HaMelech, but he must have been a very great Chacham if the Navi is emphasizing that he was from Tekoa.
Do we know where it is today?
I'm not sure where it is. We may know, but I don't know.
It's not a city, Tekoa. Maybe.
I don't know. So we are given some information about Amos. We know that he had a significant speech impediment. We know he was a shepherd. We know he was from Tekoa. He was a wise person. We also know that his nevuah was in the years of Uzziah Melech Yehuda and Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Yisrael. And we know that he began his nevuah 2 years before the great Rash. So the Navi is giving us quite a few markers here that we can place Amos and get a sense for who he was. We already learned earlier in the beginning of Hosea that there were 4 Nevi'im that got their nevuah around the same time. They overlapped each other. They were Hosea, Amos, Yeshaya, and Micha, in that order. Hosea was first, Amos is second, Yeshaya is third, and Micha is fourth. In the beginning of Hosea, the Navi tells us, it says over there, this we learned at the time, but I will repeat it now because it's relevant to what we're learning tonight. The Navi tells us, Devar Hashem Ashaya el Hosea ben Be'eri, and then the pasuk says, Techilas Dvar Hashem Bahoshea. The beginning of the word to Hashem was to Hosea. That's to emphasize that he was the first of the 4. It doesn't mean the first Nevuah of anybody. Obviously, there were many Nevi'im who came before Hosea. But of these 4 Nevi'im, Hosea came first. Now, in Hosea, it says that his Nevuah was in the days of Uzziah, which is the same as it says here with Amos. Uzziah, that's the king. Yosam, that's Uzziah's son, also the king. Achaz, that's Yosam's son, also the king. Yechizkiah, that's Chizkiah, also a king. Those are the 4 Malchei Yehuda that Hosea was a Navi during those 4 reigns. Uvime Yeravam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael, and in the days of Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Israel, exactly as it says it here in Amos, that Amos also had a Nevuah during Yeravam ben Yoash's reign. Now it doesn't tell us that Amos spanned the reign of all these kings. It only says Uzziah for Amos. That doesn't necessarily mean Amos died. It may mean that his nevuah was only during the days of Uzziah. But the king Yeravam ben Yoash of Yisrael is mentioned here as it is mentioned in Hosea. Chazal ask, why was Yeravam ben Yoash mentioned in Hosea? He was a Rasha. Yeravam ben Yoash was a Rasha. He's from the dynasty of Yehu. and he was a Rasha. Why would he be mentioned? It makes sense that the Navi would mention that Hoshea had Nevuah during the reign of Uzziah. Uzziah was a tzaddik. In the reign of Yosam, who was a tzaddik, Achaz, who was not a tzaddik, but he's in that line over there, because the next one, Chizkiah is also a tzaddik. So the Navi wants to tell us the three great tzaddikim who were kings of Yehuda. And so Achaz is in the list over there. But Yeravam ben Yoash, why mention him at all? That he was the king of Yisrael during part of the Nevuah of Hoshea and during the Nevuah of Amos. Why mention him at all if he was a Rasha? And Chazal tell us the reason why he's mentioned is because in Amos, we will learn later on, it'll take us several weeks to get there, but later in Amos, we are going to find that Amos is going to be accused of a crime that he does not commit. And he will be accused, and the accusation will be made by a prominent member of the court of Yeravam ben Yoash, in Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, which is where Amos was a Navi. He was in the northern kingdom primarily. And there will be an accusation made against him. And Yeravam ben Yoash, the Rasha king, will not be mekabel the Lashon Hara. He will reject the Lashon Hara. He will say, Chas v'shalom, it cannot be that Amos would do such a thing. So even though Yeravam ben Yoash was himself a Rasha, but because he rejected the Lashon Hara that is spoken about Amos, therefore he is Zocha, he merits to be listed both here and in Hoshea, even though really only the Tzaddikim deserve to be listed. But he is listed because of that great act of resisting the temptation to allow Amos to be vilified. And he rejects the Lashon Hara. You see the power of a person being careful, not just about speaking Lashon Hara, but about believing Lashon Hara, and making sure not to accept that which is Lashon Hara, even though he certainly would have been tempted to accept it. He was not a tzaddik, but nevertheless he did not accept it, and that because of that he was listed over here and earlier in Hoshea. Amos, as we will see, is going to, in the first parak here and a little bit of the second parak, he is going to talk about a lot of nations, and he will discuss what they've done wrong and how they're going to get punished. But once you get to the middle of the second parak, he's going to segue into Malchus Yisrael, the northern kingdom, and that is where he will stay. He will talk about the northern kingdom almost exclusively for the balance of Sefer Amos. That is where he was a Navi, and his Nevuah is a scathing Nevuah against the northern kingdom for all of the Averos that were going on in the days of Yeravam ben Yoash, who himself was a Rasha. So even though his Nevuah is essentially to criticize Yeravam and his reign, yet Yeravam does not accept the Lashon Hara. And you see that zchus stands for Yeravam ben Yoash. In order to understand why Hashem, in fact, did put his Shechina on someone who was a Baal Mum, who had a terrible speech impediment, Amos, and in fact, Klal Yisrael say that Hashem has left his world and he's put a Shechina on this pejorative, is a pejorative, this Baal Mum, this person with a difficult tongue. They say it in a negative way. So in order to understand why it happened, then we have to understand the reference here to the Ra'ash. And in order to understand that, we have to go back to some of the things we spoke about in Malachim about this Ra'ash, and then apply it over here. Before I do that, though, I do want to make a point which ought to be going through everybody's head, which is, okay, who else was a Kavad Peh, had difficulty speaking? That would be Moshe Rabbeinu. So why would Klal Yisrael speak negatively about Amos when the greatest Navi of them all, Rabban Shel Kol HaNaviim, the greatest Navi of them all, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, had a terrible speech impediment? And so what is the problem with Amos? I would say just the opposite. If anything, it shows some sort of relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's answer that question with a different question, which is, why is it that the Hashgacha had it that the greatest Navi of them all, Moshe Rabbeinu, had a speech impediment? Why would that be? Did you ever ask that question? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have it that the greatest Navi of them all has a terrible speech impediment? Although we know that people who have physical defects are fine people spiritually, and there's nothing wrong with the person on a spiritual plane, but nevertheless, it is a lack of kavod for the Shekhinah to have a person who is physically blemished to be the representative of the Shekhinah. A king does not have that. To be a servant in the king's palace, to be in the king's court, even the janitor in the king's court, it would not be acceptable to be a balmum. There would have to be a person who is physically complete in order to serve in the king's palace. It's not a criticism of the person's inherent worth, but just as you would not have in the king's palace furniture that was chipped, he wouldn't drive a chariot that the paint was rubbed off. He only drives the best. He only has the best. Everything is polished to a gleam. Everything is perfect. So too, the human beings that work in the king's palace need to be perfect. And so, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put his Shekhinah on someone who is blemished is a lack of kavod, it would seem. So why would it be that Hashgacha have it that Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Navi of them all, B'chol Beisi Nemanhu, the one who's closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yet he has a speech impediment?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing for Amos in the future?
Well, that would be putting it backwards. We're associating Amos with Moshe Rabbeinu, not Moshe Rabbeinu with Amos.
The spiritual thing. Hashem is spiritual, so why can't his representative doesn't have to be perfectly physical?
It's got
to
be perfect physical. It's a lack of kavod. We would never, if we had to find someone to represent the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we would not put a Baal Mum up there. That's why a Baal Mum is possible in the Beis HaMikdash. You can have a Kohen who is a tremendous Talmid Chacham and who is a great Tzaddik, but he's a Baal Mum. He cannot work in the Beis HaMikdash. It is a lack of kavod to the Shekhinah.
In Bereshit, when it says that Hashem gave a nefesh, the Tzelem Elokim, isn't it talking about speech? That is our Hashem, our speech is, that's our defining, that's our neshama. So it is Hashem, his speech is Hashem.
But it's marred.
So maybe speech is not part of the physical thing, mum part.
Hard to say that. It's hard to say. I mean, we see it as a moment. I mean, it sounds, you know, it's hard to talk to a person who has a speech impediment.
Won't it take away from them thinking that it's Moshe and sort of bring them closer to Hashem when they see that his
speech is not perfect? Okay, so the Ran writes in his drushas that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu has to have a speech impediment is that no one could ever claim that the reason why Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah is because Moshe was an incredible orator, and he convinced Klal Yisrael through his unbelievable charisma to accept the Torah. That Moshe Rabbeinu was a terrible orator. Moshe Rabbeinu was completely physically unable to convince people to follow him through his speech, because his speech was very difficult. It was only when he spoke Torah that Hashem miraculously removed that speech impediment. At first it was through Aaron, but later on, when it was Moshe Yedaber Hashem Yonenu V'Kol, that Moshe Rabbeinu would speak and there was no impediment. But that was because he was representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. But it was specifically in order to make it clear that the Torah is not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is simply the Shliach through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have been this incredible speaker that was able to sway the crowd with his great oratory and his intonations and his just everything about him, then one could say that Klal Yisrael were swayed by that and it wasn't really an acceptance of the Torah. That's what the Ran writes. Over here, Klal Yisrael says, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have put his Shekhinah on this Ketiyah Lashon, this person who has a speech impediment? Now I ask you, if it would be true that when Amos said his Nevuah, a nace happened, just like with Moshe Rabbeinu, and his speech impediment disappeared, and he spoke perfectly clearly, just as Moshe Rabbeinu did, would Klal Yisrael have then said anything? I think not. I think then Klal Yisrael would have said exactly what everybody's thinking here at the table, which is, what do you mean? Amos is like Moshe Rabbeinu. It seems to me, I don't have a proof for this, it just seems to me, Amos was not like Moshe Rabbeinu, in that, even when he was saying his Nevuah, there was a speech impediment. And therefore, it did project a lack of Kavod for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, Klal Yisrael said, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? He takes his Shekhinah, and he goes, he forsakes the entire world, where there's all kinds of perfectly good speakers out there, and he puts his Shekhinah on this person who can't speak. It's a diminishing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol, so to speak. That is what I believe is the case with Amos. And that we need to understand then, why did Hashem do that? Why would he do that? So let's understand the Rash and what's going on over here with the Rash. If the Navi references the Rash and says that Amos spoke, he had his Nevuah 2 years before the Rash, that means that somehow this Rash, this earthquake, is defining the Nevuah of Amos. But that's difficult because it didn't happen yet. It doesn't happen for 2 more years. So how could something that hasn't happened yet define his Nevuah? We learned back in Sefer Malachim, when we learned about Uzziahu, that the reason why the earthquake happened is because Uzziahu Melech Yehuda, who was a tzaddik, did a terrible avera. Uzziahu Melech Yehuda said that everything is about kavod shamayim. Everything is about giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What greater honor could there be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than for the king to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash? And Uzziahu went into the Beis HaMikdash and started to do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol said to him, you can't do this. And Uzziahu then got saras on his forehead. Now Uzziahu, what he did was an avera. He was in a very high madrega, but he still did an avera. Even though it was rationalized, he wasn't doing it because he was trying to do an avera. He rationalized it. He said that it should be a kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the melech to do avoda. But we know that from Korach, we know that there cannot be anybody who lo yecha Korach lechadaso. There can't be anybody like Korach. No one can usurp the kahuna. And when he did, he was punished. But Uzziahu did tshuva. Uzziahu, for the rest of his life, did tshuva. He had, after that incident with the tzaras, he lived for another 25 years. He lived for 25 years. But during those 25 years, the tzaras never went away. He had tzaras for the rest of his life, for 25 years. And Uzziahu built himself a house in the Beis HaKvaros, in the graveyard. Because a mitzoras chashuv kemes, someone has tzaras is like they're dead. And therefore he built himself a home in the graveyard, and that's where he lived for 25 years, doing tshuva for his avera. Uziyahu is a tzaddik. He did one thing wrong, and he did tshuva for the rest of his life for it, for 25 years. When Uziyahu went into the Beis HaMikdash and started doing avodah, the Gemara tells us that the physical elements of the universe, of the world, rebelled against him. And the ground opened up because the ground wanted to swallow him, just like Korach was swallowed by the ground. And so the ground opened up. And that's the incredible earthquake that took place. Yeshaya, in his Nevuah, he says, Srafim omdim mima'al lo. There were Srafim, there were fiery angels standing above in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sees fiery angels because the fire wanted to consume Uziyahu for his Avera, because the 250 men who were with Korach, they were killed by a fire. The fire came down and killed them. So the ground wanted to swallow him, and the fire wanted to burn him up. And instead, neither of those things happened. Because the pasuk says, "V'lo yecha Korach." No longer will a person who tries to usurp the kuna get punished like Korach. V'cha'adaso, and no longer will a person who tried to usurp the kahuna get what Korach's group got. They won't get swallowed up like Korach. They won't get burned up like the Aida of Korach, like the group of Korach. V'lo yecha Korach v'cha'adaso. Kasher diber Hashem, like Hashem spoke, b'yad Moshe lo, in the hand of Moshe to him. How will they get punished? Like the hand of Moshe. B'yad Moshe lo. Because Moshe, when he put his hand in his shirt, got saras. And therefore, that is the punishment from here on in, the Navi is telling us, that after Korach, the punishment for usurping the kahuna is saras. And that is why Uziyahu got saras. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu get saras when he put his hand in his shirt? Because he spoke Lashon Hara. What was his Lashon Hara? He said, V'heim lo yaminu li. Klal Yisrael is not going to believe me. I'm going to say that Hashem sent me. They're not going to believe me. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you spoke Lashon Hara about my children, that you accused them of not believing me. And therefore he gave him saras. Later it says, V'ya'amein ha'am. And Hashem says, they did believe him. And Hashem says, Vishamu lekolecha, they will listen to you. Chazal saying, why will they listen to you? Why will Klal Yisrael believe Moshe Rabbeinu when he comes and says that Hashem pakod pakarti, that he's going to redeem Klal Yisrael? Why? Because they will see that someone who spoke against them was punished. You spoke against them and you were punished. They will therefore know that I am out now, I'm in their corner, I'm out to punish people who start up with them. And therefore they believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to save them. Even though the ground did not swallow Uziyah, nevertheless, there was an incredible earthquake. And that earthquake is the Ra'ash. The Ra'ash is the ground reacting to Uziyahu working in the Beis HaMikdash, and attempting to do to him as was done to Korach. That's what the Ra'ash is. The Ra'ash is a replica of what happens with Korach. And even though it didn't happen in the end, but that's why it happens. This Ra'ash is referenced in several places in Tanakh, as we mentioned back then in Malachim. It's obviously the story in Malachim is there, as it mentions it there. It's mentioned in Yeshaya, as we just talked about now. It's mentioned over here in Amos. It is mentioned in Zechariah later on, in Zechariah, in the last perek of Zechariah. The pasuk says, in perek Yudalet of Zechariah, pasuk Hey, chapter 14, verse 5, it says, there's going to be all kinds of geological changes. Big things are going to happen when in Asad Lavo in the future. Mountains are going to move and things, all kinds of crazy things are going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. Vinastem gei hara, you will run away. You will run away because of the mountains. Ki yagia gei harim el atzal. Vinastem, you will run. Kasher nastem mipnei arash, like you ran away in the days of the rash, because of the rash, because of the earthquake. Bimei Uziyah melech Yehuda, in the days of Uziyah, the king of Yehuda. That is referenced in Zechariah. This is the same rash. This was a watershed event in Eretz Yisrael during Bayis Rishon. This earthquake was an incredible event that everybody knew about. If you mentioned the rash, they all knew what we were talking about. Obviously not before it happened, but after it happened, everybody knew about the rash. It would be Lahavdil saying something like, before 9/11. Or after 9/11. You know, it would be, everybody knows what it is. You don't have to say any more than that. The rash was a well-known cataclysmic event that took place in Eretz Yisrael. Amos himself foretells this rash in Paragimel. In chapter 3, which we'll skip ahead just for the moment to take a look at it, the last pasuk in Paragimel, when Amos is talking about what's going to happen to the northern kingdom, he says in Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15, I will strike down the winter home with the summer home. They had winter homes and they had summer homes. They had homes built for heat and they had homes built for fresh air, depending on the season. They were very, the northern kingdom were very wealthy and they had various homes to match the season for climate control. Va'avdu vatei hashen, and the homes of marble will be lost. V'safu batim rabim, and many homes will be destroyed. Neum Hashem, so says Hashem. That is a reference to the great earthquake. As we know, when there is an earthquake, buildings topple, homes fall. And that is what Amos is referring to over here, that when this incredible earthquake took place in Eretz Yisrael, many great edifices in the northern kingdom were destroyed. He's saying it here beforehand as a nevuah in advance, but that's what he's foretelling what would happen when this rash takes place. When we learn about the rash in the days of Uziyah, Uziyah is a Melech Yehuda. He's from the south. He's in the southern kingdom. Uziyah was a tzaddik. He did something wrong, and because of that, there was this unbelievable rash. But in the end, the rash did not punish Uziyah. It did not swallow him. That's not what happened. In the end, he got saras. The ground wanted to swallow him, but it didn't happen. But the ground did cause incredible destruction. Where was the brunt of that destruction? It was in the north, in the northern kingdom. In Malchus Yisrael, the kingdom of Yoravam ben Yoash, that's where the brunt of the earthquake, the brunt of the damage of the earthquake took place. If you learn about the rash and focus solely on the Avera of Uziyah, and that the ground wanted to swallow him up, but it didn't happen, then what's that?
It's in the wrong place.
It's a little bit myopic. We're not seeing the big picture. The earthquake was a massive earthquake, and it affected a lot of land, and it primarily affected the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. It was in the south, but the damage was in the north. As we know, these things are not. They're not necessarily, I'm sure they are scientific, but you can't necessarily predict exactly how it's going to happen. And then the rash really hurt the north more than the south. So, how do we understand that? He doesn't have error. Uziyah doesn't have error. He's not even king over the north. Why should the north suffer for Uziyah's avera? So the answer is, they weren't tzaddikim. They were being punished. So if they were being punished, why doesn't the rash happen to them without Uziyah? Why do you need Uziyah to do something wrong in the Beis HaMikdash in order for a rash to happen against the northern kingdom to punish them for their doing wrong. It's two entirely different stories. The answer is because Uzziah, in his great tzidkus, was a shmira, was a protection for the northern kingdom.
He was a
protection. They were big Bali Avera. They did Terel Averas. Yeravam ben Yoash was a Rasha, the king of the northern kingdom. But they were spared. They were not being punished because of the tzidkus, of the righteousness of Uzziah and Malchus Yehuda. But when Uzziah does something wrong for which he has to get punished, and he is punished, now he's punished with Tzaras, but the ground reacts because he really deserves to be swallowed up, just like Korach got swallowed up. So that doesn't hurt Uzziah. The ground doesn't hurt him, but it hurts the northern kingdom, which were only spared because of his protection. And once he's being punished, then they are punished. And therefore the rash decimates the northern kingdom. It decimates the northern kingdom. Just to mention as an aside that we know that there's a great deal of limud haTorah, of learning Torah, that goes on in many different communities. Baruch Hashem, we have limud haTorah here. There's a lot of limud haTorah going on right now. You can hear it in the Beis Medrash. Baruch Hashem. There's a huge amount of limud haTorah in all the great yeshivas. But we know that of all the places in the world today, the place where there is the most limud haTorah is Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, there is an unparalleled limud haTorah going on. We have no idea how much shmira, how much protection we get because of the limud haTorah that is going on everywhere, but particularly in Eretz Yisrael. We have no idea how much shmira we have. That the lifestyle that we lead and the sense of safety that we have, even though there's always incidents and it's not perfect, but the fact of the matter is, we definitely live with a greater sense of safety than previous generations. And that sense of safety is generated by the incredible limud haTorah that is going on, particularly in Eretz Yisrael. And we don't see it, we don't correlate it, but that is what's happening. Here, Uzziah and his tzidkus is what protected the northern kingdom. And when he did something wrong on his madrega and was punished, the punishment affected the northern kingdom. Amos has a nevuah 2 years before the rash, before that takes place. So why does the Navi tell us that his nevuah was 2 years before the rash? Why is that important to us to know that Amos's nevuah was 2 years before the rash? I think you have to say that the Navi is telling us Amos's nevuah was to prevent the rash. That was the reason for his nevuah. Hashem, in his great rachmanus, sent a Navi to the northern kingdom to tell them they need to do tshuva in order not to have a terrible rash. His nevuah was in the days of Uzziah Melech Yehuda, the tzaddik, and in the days of Yoravam ben Yoash, the Rasha. The tzaddik is protecting the Rasha. And the Hashem sent Amos to go, and hopefully the northern kingdom under Yoravam ben Yoash will listen to him, and it will there not be any need for a cataclysmic earthquake. Unfortunately, they didn't listen, and the rash takes place. And Amos himself warns them about it, as we saw at the end of Perek Gimel. Tells them, if you don't shape up, these buildings are going to fall down. They didn't listen, and the buildings fell down. As we said, there was Hosea, Amos, Yeshaya, Micha. Those are the four that prophesied during this time. In that order, Hosea first, Amos second, Yeshaya 3rd, Micha 4th. When is Yeshaya's Nevuah? When does he get his first Nevuah? At the Rash. Meaning, when Amos's Nevuah failed, it didn't accomplish, it's not Amos's fault, they didn't listen to him. When it didn't accomplish what it was there for, which was to prevent the Rash happened. Now it's time for a new Navi, because it's a different mission. Now, the mission is give them Musar after the Rash. That's a whole different message. The Musar before the Rash was to prevent the Rash. The Musar after the Rash is the aftermath. That's a different message, and therefore it's a different Navi. So, Amos's job, his tafkid, is to prevent that Rash, and it doesn't happen. Again, it's not his fault, they didn't listen. But when his Nevuah doesn't stop them, then the Rash happens, so then a new Navi comes on the scene, which is Yeshaya. That's where the Navi tells us that he was a Navi 2 years before the Rash. His Nevuah is defined by being 2 years before the Rash. How can you define something before it happens? That's the whole point. His Nevuah is defined as the Nevuah that was there to prevent the Rash. And it didn't happen. It didn't work. That's Amos. So, why did Hashem pick a person who has a ketia lashon, who has a speech impediment? Klal Yisrael's reaction to that was, how could Hashem do that? How could Hashem diminish his kavod kiviyachol, so to speak, by picking someone who is a bal mum? How could he do that? So the argument is an argument, but they're wrong for a reason.
I was just thinking there's a lot of talk about Lashon Hara in the beginning. I just wonder if that's tied in at all with the speech.
Okay.
Is that a symbol to them of their madriga, of what's going on and what's causing all the issues, or part of what's causing the issues?
Okay, that's a very nice connection. The primary avera was Avodah Zarah. That was the primary avera. But that is a good connection, though. The fact of the matter is, Yeravam ben Yoash did not accept the Lashon Hara. It's true that someone did speak to him about it, as we'll see later, who it's going to be. But so that is a nice connection. So perhaps there is that plays a role over here, that it's something about a message about speech that is being sent to them. And that could be. That could be.
So why was it Soras? Like, Soras is relating to speech. And why is it that person who goes and acts like a Kohen is not a Kohen, doesn't get destroyed but gets Soras? What's the connection?
Okay, that's it.
Maybe the speech thing is also, you
know, okay.
Because we know with Moshe you said that the reason he got was because of speech.
Okay, Soras comes for several things, not just for Lashon Hara. One of them is usurping the Kohuna. But you're right, the main reason Soras comes is for Lashon Hara. That is definitely the main thing. So they're all related. They have to be related.
But when I'm listening to you, it's like you're suggesting that it was Amos's fault that he had the speech impediment. But wasn't it really Hashem's doing?
Yeah, it's not Amos's fault that he has a speech impediment. The question is why Hashem picked a person who has a speech impediment. He has a speech impediment for whatever reason that he has a speech, you know, whatever reason a person has a physical defect. That's their own. Nisayon in life, and that's the way Hashem set it up. Whatever their job is to do in this world includes having that particular issue, right? So that's.
But you know, when Moshe said to Hashem, you know, you're asking me to send me, and I can't speak. What did Hashem say to him?
Yeah, Hashem sent me some pel adam. Who gave a person? Right.
So the same thing here.
Okay, but here he did. Now it's over there. Hashem sent him and removed the impediment when he spoke. He gave him Aaron, then he removed the impediment. Here, I don't believe he removed the impediment. So it seems to me. See, the whole purpose of a Navi, throughout all the Naviim, is to give Musar. It's to criticize and admonish. That's the purpose of a Navi. Most of the Nevuahs, if you count how many psukim in Nevuah are negative, and how many are positive, the negative is going to outweigh the positive. Because the primary purpose of the Navi is to wag his finger, or hers. I mean, that's the primary purpose, is you got to do better. You got to improve. If you don't, bad things are going to happen. I mean, that's the primary job of the Navi. Sometimes the Navi speaks positively. If you keep the mitzvahs, all these great things are going to happen. And La said, Lavo, it's going to be wonderful. But it's mostly negative. Because that's the job of the Navi. And by and large, we didn't listen. Meaning, what I mean to say is, of course, individuals listened to the Navi. But by and large, as a people, we did not collectively listen, at least not enough. And that's why we are where we are today. The job of a Navi is primarily to give Musar. But there's a big difference to give Musar to people who are essentially doing the right thing, but have some things they've done wrong, and people who are really primarily doing the wrong thing. It's a big difference. Think about Nasan HaNavi coming to David HaMelech, and he gives him Musar for his Aveiro with Bathsheba. David HaMelech was one of the greatest tzaddikim to ever walk the face of the earth, but he had to get criticized by a Navi. That's part of what a Navi does. On the other hand, Yonah has to go to Nineveh. Nineveh were terrible people, and he has to give them Musar. So the Navi, sometimes he spoke to people who were great people but needed to get criticized, and sometimes he spoke to people who were terrible people. That just depended on the situation. But most of the time, the Navi is speaking to people who are primarily good people. Klal Yisrael are generally good people, and the Navi is generally speaking to people who could be receptive to his message. It's rare that the Navi is going to speak to people who are not going to be receptive. There's no point in sending the Navi to people who aren't going to be receptive at all.
Yirmiyahu, they don't accept him.
They don't. They often don't.
So they were punished by having to be exiled.
Yeah. I mean, we often rejected the Nevi'im, but the people could have accepted the Navi. They could have responded positively to the Navi. They could have, but they didn't. It seems to me the reason why Amos is specifically chosen to be this Navi, to have the Nevuah 2 years before the Ra'ash, is because Hashem was sending a message to the northern kingdom that you're really, really in a bad place. You're really in a bad place. This is not a joke. We're talking about a cataclysmic event that is going to happen if you don't shape up. Because you're really, really spiraling downward very quickly. And if you don't listen to this Navi, there's going to be a real, real bad thing that's going to happen. And the representation that the Navi is making of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is a kiviyachol, so to speak, a diminishing of the kavod shamayim, of the honor of Hashem, that is exactly the message that they were being sent. They were being sent the message that the kavod of Hashem is diminished because of your behavior. Obviously, Hashem's kavod is never diminished, but it means his representation in this world, the kavod of Hashem is diminished in that way because of your behavior. But their reaction instead was not looking inwardly, but looking outwardly and saying, Hashem picks up a person who can't speak to be the Navi? What's Hashem? Instead of saying, hey, why did Hashem pick that person? Is it because of us? Instead of looking at themselves, they instead criticized Hashem back and said, well, you picked this person who can't speak well to be your Navi? What kind of thing is that? So they rejected the whole message. And therefore the Ra'ash happens. And the Ra'ash is horrible. It's horrific. Not just buildings fall down. People are killed. It's a terrible, terrible thing that happens. And now a new message is necessary. It's no longer the message of Amos, who has a speech impediment. That message is no longer applicable because now they got the message. Once the catastrophe happens, now it's how do you deal with the catastrophe? Now how do you recover? How do you deal with it? And therefore it's a different Navi. It's Yeshaya. Now in the end, the northern kingdom does not recover and they end up getting worse and worse and worse, and eventually they go into Golus. And Sancheriv takes them into Golus. That's what eventually happens. But it's still a different people you're dealing with if they're recovering from punishment. They all knew that the rash was a punishment. They couldn't miss it. It was not the type of thing that you could explain away and say it was coincidental, it was this, it was that. You can explain away anything. But it was so powerful and it was so concentrated and it was predicted that most of the people got it when there was that rash. And therefore people were in a better place and were more willing to do tshuva. And therefore the message was no longer look how diminished the Kvod Shamayim is. Now the message is you got to do better, you got to improve. Look what just happened. Now we got to rebuild.
And they didn't.
So some did, some didn't. In the end, they kept spiraling worse and worse and worse. But that whenever there is chas v'shalom, a terrible catastrophe, there is a natural reaction from human beings to look inwardly. There's what happened over here. It's shocking to people. It's shocking. How could this have happened? It's shocking to people. So therefore, it's a new Navi. A different Navi takes the scene after the rash. Because you're dealing with a people who are in a different place than before the rash. But almost, he's dealing with the people that are like, Shamalai Nafshi, there's nothing wrong, we're doing what we want, Univim can go jump in a lake, we don't care. And that's the kind of people that he was dealing with. And therefore, Hashem specifically sends a person like him in order to send that message.
So if they're fixing with Avodah Zarah, doesn't that mean that they didn't believe in Hashem? Why would they listen to
another? Klal Yisrael has demonstrated time and again that they can do Avodah Zarah and still believe in Hashem. Eliyahu Navi is the proof of that.
I must have them post him. Right, but then they did.
They went back and forth. They in Malachim, when we went through it, we showed that in the Northern Kingdom, at the same time, you had rampant Avodah Zarah and you still had worship of Hashem. It was just... Right, it's hard for us to appreciate because it's hard for us to appreciate Avodah Zarah. But just as you can have, just picture a person who is into a particular taiva. A person's into a taiva. They're running after a taiva. A person can be running after a taiva one minute, and the next minute they're in shul davening or learning. It can happen. Human beings, we have that capacity to do that. And they kept flipping back and forth.
And we don't think like bitachon. We think it's trust, and we think and avodah zarah is also a belief. So that's why you don't think that you could have both. This, you know, the
right.
Same.
Right. And they slipped into it. They slipped out of it. It was right. Yeah.
So we hear that when horrible things happen in the world, and you don't know what it is, we don't have a navi to tell us why they're happening.
Right.
You're supposed to look inside yourself and do tshuva.
Yes.
Right?
The Rambam says that not only are you supposed to, the Rambam says a person is cruel if they don't.
So, if you don't know what's going on, and you really want to do something, can you at least say, please Hashem, help me do the right tshuva for what I'm doing?
Yeah. What we have to do is we have to say, that we don't know.
We don't know.
But I do know I need to improve in this particular area, and therefore I'm going to improve.
At least show me how to improve.
Or we have to pick an area. Sometimes one of the gedolim will weigh in and say this is what as a group as a klal we need to work on.
But
sometimes that'll happen.
But as an individual.
As an individual, we have to
do the best you can do.
Yeah, Hashem can't expect more than that. He knows we don't have Nevi'im.
Oh wait.
He's aware of that.
So there is a path. First, the flood of Noah was given a year to. Was it 1 year they had time to change their way?
No, they had 120 years.
120 years. Okay, then comes the earthquake. Is there anything in between there? Because it's almost like a path. God says, I'll give you first by water, and now I will give you by earth.
But this is many, many years later. I don't know if there's a correlation between those two. Also, that's not Klal Yisrael. That's before there was a Klal Yisrael.
Right.
So that's like a whole different. That changed the whole world order.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know this? Was there any archaeological finds from that rash at that time?
I don't know.
Lots of broken ivory and marble.
What's that?
Lots of broken ivory and marble.
People should
like those dishes
in that. Why is it that you need to go and explain that the whole thing about your Rav not accepting Lashon Hara? Why wouldn't you just say, okay, so when you read this Amos, this is Amos, and he's in the time of Yeravam, so that his job is going to be...
Here that would be enough. The Chazal are really talking about in Hosea, why he's mentioned over there. You're right, over here it's really because this is the person he's talking to.
His
Yeah.
Was Moshe the
been deified if he had not had a speech impediment? In other
words, I don't know. I don't know.
Was that also contentious?
I don't know. It could be. It could be. That's why we don't know where he's buried. It's for that reason.
They would have
made it into a shrine for sure. I mean, that's, you know, look what goes on today.
Right?
I mean, it's bad enough today what goes on around the Kibbutz Tzaddik. It would have been much worse then.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.